Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, and that's Briscoe.
And that's Briscoe. And Ruby's here somewhere, and she's going to be snorting along with us. And welcome to Something's Off, a true crime podcast where we pretty much just every single day go through Karen Reed legal filings.
We had other intentions.
Point, we
had other intentions, and we will do other stuff. But right now, there's a lot of shit going on, Mel. We can't not talk
Holy
about it.
Shit. There's so much shit going on that we're probably not going to be able to fit it all into this episode. We're going to have to continue on with our regular episode on Monday. And I don't even know if we're going to get through it all on Monday. There's so many filings and so many hearings and so many depositions.
And it's juicy. And it's not juicy. So juicy. If it was just boring, I wouldn't want to talk about it. Also, I'm reaching out to people that I want to have on the show. I reached out to Will. I reached out to Melanie. I want to see if we can get some people on and get to know them on the show in the coming weeks too. So,
yeah, I would love to have Melanie on. She is one of my favorite people and she is on a tear right now.
And she's friends with our friends. They just need to give her a poke for us. Be like, oh, by the way, guys, we do know that Turtle Boy is doing his bus stop with Jimmy this morning. Mm. So there's going to be the whole technical difficulties portion. And then that's going to be really fun. But like, maybe if you're in the chat, you could be like, send him over to Rebecca and Mel when this is over.
Yeah.
We'd love
when they're done, just send him over. And, you know, we're going to try to get through a lot of stuff today, but we do have only a 2 hour sort of around 2 hour time limit. Mm-hmm. So bear with us, but let's get into this really quickly after a short break. Rebecca.
We're back.
So much to talk about this morning. So much. I was doing
Let's talk about what we're going to talk about before we bore people. We're going to talk about Sean Good. We're going to talk about that fiery freaking status hearing in the
How is the status hearing so fiery?
It was because the judge is fucking had it. We're going to talk about Emily C's convo with Adam Deitch. We have other things that we know happened. We know about the new filings in the federal case that are also very juicy. We know about the protective order hearing that's happening like at 10 o'clock today. That stuff will likely spill over to Monday. But right before we launch into it, let's do business really, really fast.
Well, I think the most important thing.
Do it. Yes.
Hold on. Go ahead. I think the most important thing we have to actually talk about is the dumbest tweet of the week. I think we have to start there.
You're right. So I think. Okay. Well, the dum-dum tweet of the week is actually a dum-dum Twitter profile of the week.
Great.
And that is this dum-dum Twitter account called Melanie Schittle.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And the dum-dum profile description is, I took on the Catholic Church, but there's no record of it. I also know nothing about criminal law. All it takes is a Google to see that Melanie Little was in fact involved in a very high-profile case against the Diocese of Rockville Center in my old neighborhood of Long Island, New York, on behalf of 11 plaintiffs. She was one of several lawyers who brought several plaintiffs. By the way, that very diocese, in a, I think, a separate action, but connected, obviously, just had to pay like a $200+ million settlement. So she was early on this one. But yeah, it literally took one Google, and there was a New York Times article about it. And I usually don't like to talk about my own tweets in this section of the show, but it was not hard to be like, brain trust here.
Yeah.
Brain trust. So yes, that's the dumb of the week on Twitter. Congratulations. I should get a sound effect. Oh, maybe I should just do like
the gong. Yep.
Let it play out.
And we
Let
do have out. A question from out. The audience.
Let it play out.
It goes on forever though.
I know it does.
Ashley wants to know if you're going to drunk watch the Burgess Cross. I'm going to answer that for you. Yes.
That one I'm actually looking forward to.
We have so many others to get to before we get to that one, because we're only in trial one right now.
We can skip around. Nobody says we need to. We don't need to be completists
this
and do
is
whatever.
This is my. I get to choose.
You know what? We should have a wheel, like Jimmy does for picking prizes.
Yeah, we actually should
spin.
Do that.
Put shit on a wheel, spin it, and then the next thing that comes to the wheel is the thing you'll make me watch. That's what we should do.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
The wheel should be some like really high stakes spots that are smaller, like making me watch a Foreskins broadcast or I really don't want to watch.
Like stuff I really don't want to watch. Yeah, and we're on part three of Jen McCabe's testimony or cross-examination from trial one, and we still have a whole other day to get through with her. Like, I don't know how we're going to
order,
do this.
Though, do we? We can split up, Jen.
No, but we're trying to get...
Hey, you drive the bus. You do whatever you want.
We're really trying to get to this 227 search. We haven't even gotten there yet. It's insane. Right. Okay. I cut you off, though, asking about the dumbest tweet of the week. You were getting ready to tell us some housekeeping.
I'm whipping through the business section. Our schedule will be posted on our channel. We're not going to run through it every episode. We'll post it to you on our channel and on social media. Subscribe to this channel. Like this video. Hype it afterwards. If you like, if you know somebody who might like the fun we have here, I hesitate to call it the work we're doing. I know I say that sometimes, but it feels very unserious what we actually do. Please tell them to subscribe to our channel if you like what we do. Become a member and you get to join our members only streams where Mel makes me watch something I don't want to watch while I'm drinking. And if you want to send us an extra tip, we do have a Cash App, what is it? At Something's Off Pod. And then we also have a Cash Venmo. App, yeah. And I'm actually going to pin that to the comments right now. I'm going to pin the Venmo.
It's Something's Off Tips. It's right there on the bottom of the screen.
Okay. And then I like pinning it because then people see it. You know, we love it if you became a member of the channel because our members only streams are fire. And you can feel free to send us super chats too, of course. But of course, you know, they do take 30%, but that's okay. Tips and super chats, we love them all. So thank you very much. Thus ends the business section, as I say on Crime Writers.
Oof. All right. So I know that we have topics like we want to get into Sean Good, but we also have this. We're still talking, I think, about this Melanie Little stuff, because I just want to put this. I'm going to state this for the record.
For the record.
Rebecca, for the record.
Submitted to the court for the record.
Melanie Little's an amazing human being. She seems that way. I don't know her personally. I just want to say that I think she's amazing. And I think that if you're not following her or subscribing, you definitely should, though. I'm sure you all are. And Rebecca, you put this in the notes that one of your must watches of the week is
Jimmy watching Melanie Little on his channel. And he's done it a few times this week. He had one this week where he watched her talking about Nan. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one where he watched her talking about LTL, which was yesterday. The one where she talks about Nan. It is one of the best streams I've seen Jimmy do in terms of pure entertainment value. And he's like, what did he say? He said, I sent him a text after because I was like, he said, oh my God, I have so many texts. He basically was like, I could spend my entire life just watching this or whatever. And I'm like, I could spend my entire life. Oh, he said, there's nothing I'd rather do than watch. There's nothing I'd rather do than watch Melanie watch Nan. And I was like, there's nothing I'd rather do than watch you watch Melanie watch Nan. Melanie actually watched a Nan and was wonderfully petty about it in all the right ways. Like in all the right ways. This is like smart, no smart. Like don't come for me. Like, she was on a tear. But watching Jimmy watch her watch Nan, that is my watch of the week.
Yep.
That's the one.
Anyway. If you're not subscribed, I'm sure you all are. Go subscribe to Melanie Little and show her some support, because the craziest thing is that she's not on Twitter anymore. And for some reason, the Twitterverse just takes her name and runs with it and like trashes her. Yeah, they're jealous. I mean, we know that there are very specific people who are jealous.
Yeah.
Which so I'm not going to get into their shit, but
yeah, this commenter says Melanie should keep to the content instead of all that drama. She does. She just lets it rip once in a while. It's like as Jimmy was saying, like once in a while, space and time converge, and only specific things are possible.
That's very scientific, Jimmy.
It's absolutely wonderful, and you know she can do what she wants with her channel. I said that I don't typically watch her doing live things because she does stop a lot, and I just like to watch it, and then you know I'll watch it later. Sort of see what she had to say about it. Yes, it is true. The way that Nan infiltrated the Glarer's channel, Jimmy and the Glarer were on yesterday talking about this, was the same thing. She just was sending everybody $500 super chats. And it was weird because Jimmy pointed out, thing is like, you know, people can see that. And you also know Google takes 30% of it. So you're not doing it to send them $500. You're doing it to get attention in the chat.
Yes. The weirdest thing, though, is she also does it to people that she is not happy with. So she also has done it to Melanie Little.
No, that was back when she was trying to get in with Melanie, though. She was trying to get in.
But it's very strange. It's very fucking strange. It's $500.
And that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
That's two Ninja slushing machines right there.
Why is everybody not enjoying that Melanie's clapping back? I don't understand.
Because that's not what they go to her channel for. They go for a different thing.
I get
thing.
It. I mean, I get that, but I don't know. I don't know.
TC Nerd, yeah. Maybe Nan can buy your computer. Think about it. Oh, I know she would. I'm 100% sure that if she liked us, she would 100% buy that MacBook Pro.
She does not like us, though.
Amazon wish list. Or she'd send me like $1,000 in Amazon gift cards or something. I know that she would. I know that she would.
But she doesn't like us. And that happened. She doesn't really know us, but she just
God bless you, Mel Esperanza. You are the me of 6 months ago. I have no idea who Nan or Jimmy are. You should know who Jimmy is. You are lucky to not know who Nan is. So just leave it there. I'm like, as you know, Aiden is a great source for this because I'll be like, I know something is going on and I know somebody is doing something. I don't know who they are and I don't know what's happening. I don't want to be in it, but I want you to tell me all about it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of drama I like. Secondhand drama.
Yeah. Same. I don't know how we have gained so many enemies since we've only been around for 6 months on YouTube. We've been around
they're
for a lot
real.
Longer.
They're not enemies. They're not real. They're not real.
But it just shows you like how petty and insane some people are on the internet.
And they don't have enough to do in their real lives.
Yeah. So anyway, let's stop wasting our breath.
Talking about Shem.
Let's stop wasting our breath on them and get into the meat of it. For those of you who don't know who we're talking about, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You should feel lucky that you don't know. So let's talk about Sean Good. Sean Good resigned after getting, 7 months of administrative leave pay, just being on vacation for being investigated.
Would you like to watch the Canton announcement about this? I have it. Let me pull it up.
I would.
And then we can talk about who Sean Good is and why this is important.
It's so funny to me that, well, I'm not going to get into it anymore. I was going to address some more NAN/Mel comments, but no.
Oh, she nuts.
Not worth it.
All right. She's nuts. Ready?
Yes.
Let's effing go.
Oh, my God. Look at this. Look at these people. What are those law books behind them? What are they doing?
What?
The law books.
Oh, that's just their fun backdrop. My town hall has a similar thing where it looks like real historic. Like it makes them look smarter than they are. I'm going back a little bit. Okay. Yes?
Nope, that's fine. I was just reading some comments.
Okay, read them. Let's just like very short. Hold on.
It's playing, but I don't hear any sound.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
I hear the sound.
Does anybody else hear sound? I don't hear any sound.
Oh, no wonder you were. I was wondering, like, why is Mel keep talking about? Okay, so I can hear the sound. Let me see what's going on. No, it's all the way up.
Oh, was I talking when they were talking? Yeah, no one else can hear sound either.
Okay, well then, okay. Well, let's just say that they announced it at the select board meeting. They basically said, I'll summarize it for you. He resigned on June 2nd. There was an ongoing investigation going on into his employment matter. They expect that investigation will continue. They're going to be limited in what they can say when that investigation is over based on their rules around personnel matters. So that's essentially it. It was a very short and brief red announcement. Hold on. It's weird that you can hear the sound because that always works. So they announced that. So do you want to remind everybody who Sean Good is?
Sean Good is he was on duty the night that John O'Keefe was killed and lying in the snow. He was working in dispatch. He happened to be in dispatch when one Mr. Brian Higgins wandered into the Canton Police Department and into dispatch shortly after John O'Keefe died. He asked Kelly Dever to come back on and cover him in dispatch while he went over to the scene. So he was one of the first people from Canton PD on the scene of John's death. And he has some very, from what we've heard, alleged salacious text messages with one Mr. Michael Proctor, which is why he's being investigated and which is why he was put on administrative leave, as far as we understand it.
The Karen Reed team says that the texts between him and Proctor are, quote, vile.
Vile.
So this was as a result, the Canton PD got a notification of the procurement of Proctor's texts from his personal cell phone, the ones that go back to 2013, mm-hmm. those. They were notified in October about all that, and they immediately put him on paid administrative leave. So he's been collecting a paycheck and not doing the work. And then he just resigned. So either there was a turn in his investigation where the writing was clearly on the wall and they were like, resign or whatever. He was only there for 18 years. So I know there's an issue with his benefits around like not being, he's going to be able to get deferred benefits, but not immediate, whatever. I don't know, whatever, however that works. Someone in Canton posted something about it. I don't really care about that. What I do care about is that the writing was clearly on the wall, but he's going to be fine. He's going to be completely fine. He's going to become a private investigator, or he's going to, you know, go to work in private security. Yep. He'll be fine. So if you're worried, if you feel bad for Sean Good, which I know many of you probably do, you know, good man. What's that, Kevin? Kevin says he's going to be a bailiff. Probably. Yeah, because then he can double dip.
No.
You're probably right.
I mean, he was Karen's attorneys call him close longtime buddies of Michael Proctor, who frequently exchanged inappropriate messages while serving as officers. We've been talking about this because we've been talking about Sean Good for the past few months, because in, I think it was January or February of 2026, he failed to respond to that subpoena for his phone records and communications with Michael Proctor. And then April 2026, Karen Reed's team filed a motion to force the town of Canton to hand over all the docs regarding Good's discipline / suspension. And Canton fought that subpoena for some reason. Do you have any idea why they might have fought that subpoena?
Because it makes them look bad. I think the whole like fighting subpoenas thing, I mean, Canton is so interesting because they have this poor municipal lawyer guy. This poor municipal lawyer. I actually feel really bad for the municipal lawyer. I mean, he's not, you know, he's whatever the town can afford. And he's just like so clearly not interested in doing this thing that Canton is asking him to go to. But he's just like, you know, we're not averse to the idea of giving this to you. We just can't for the following reasons.
Is this true? Shaza says that Good has been barred from entering all government offices since October 2. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did see that a while back, which is not, I think, atypical for someone who's on investigation, because they don't want them to be able to interfere with evidence or personnel. They don't want them walking in and saying, let me see where that file is and what it says. Or, hey, buddy, can you tell me what's going on with that? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, walking into like the FBI offices and asking your buddy to help you, you know, pull the most important text messages off your phone to hand over to investigators for a guy's death, where you were having an emotional affair with the guy's girlfriend. That could happen too.
What are you talking about? And are you sure it was really emotional?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that I'm not sure it was ever consummated. I think maybe they tried. And then they just
and he couldn't. And, yeah,
I
maybe
think Karen was probably like,
"We know they're both embarrassed about it. We know that she certainly is, because she didn't tell her lawyers about it, right?" Yeah. So chances are we know even less. it's probably been minimized by both of them. Let's put it that way. But I bet it's probably an embarrassing story because she never spoke to him again after she went to his house ever.
I think next after Sean Good, I would really like Gallagher and Link to be on, not the chopping block, but I want to know more about them.
Gallagher, I want to know more about sure.
Gallagher, like, Sean said Gallagher's testimony should go viral. Something is off with that. I completely agree. Something is really off with Gallagher. Did you see that video of him holding the Dunkin' Donuts coffee? He's wearing his police uniform and he's like talking to somebody. And then,
oh, when he's doing detail,
when his hand is shaking.
Yeah.
What is that?
Maybe he has a tremor. Some people have tremors. I have a coworker who has a tremor, who's pretty young, who has a tremor.
But we would have seen it on the stand.
Maybe. Maybe he had his hands.
He was on the stand for a while.
Yeah, but didn't he have his hands in front of him and the stand coming?
This is a tremor that you can't miss. Mm. Like, this is a big one.
Oh, people say Gallagher already retired.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't matter. He can still testify. He can still do depositions.
Gallagher was the one. Okay. When I say I feel bad for, I mean this obviously with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. What gives Gallagher a sort of a sad aura is that he was with that police department for so long, mm-hmm. and was still kind of like a relatively low-level officer compared to like his buddy, right? So it's like he the way he described his own relationship, like with the chief and the assistant chief, he sounded like their pet. Like he sounded like he asked me to go pick up packages at his house. It made me sad for him.
Yeah. He makes me really sad. It makes me feel like he's been around for a really long time. He's an old guy. He's an older guy who probably loved his job, probably loves the town of Canton, and was kind of used by these guys. And he was like, yeah, well, that's my role here. So that's what I'm going to do. And
did you not listen to me, Mel Speranza? I'm not really sympathetic. It's just sort of like the aura of sadness that he must feel. I'm not like empathizing. I'm just like, can you imagine what that would be like? Just to be clear.
All right. This is, I love you, Mel Speranza. I want to play this video.
Sure.
Because this freaks me out a little bit. Here we go. Can we hear this? Because it's important to hear it.
He's upset.
Yes.
You appreciate that that you're upsetting someone. You can film me all you want, but please. This
I'm going to catch you guys. I'm going to catch what you're doing out here.
Pull over here. I'll bring you inside. You want, but please, this
I'm going to catch you guys. I'm going to catch what you're doing out here.
He's got a tremor.
I'll bring you inside. Don't worry, ma'am.
I'm going to catch what you're doing out here.
Pull over here. I'll bring you inside. This woman is upset. Can you appreciate
I mean, he might have a tremor. I just feel like that's something we would have seen on the stand. Like that,
I don't think necessarily. Sometimes tremors can happen too when somebody is just more like agitated. So I don't know.
Yeah,
they come and go. They come and go. But he definitely.
I mean, the guy that was asking him, the guy that was like confronting him, it was about like obviously, Canton PD corruption, and so the inference was that Gallagher was freaking out in that moment because he was being approached about corruption. But anyway, I don't really feel bad for any of these police officers, especially if they've done anything nefarious.
Why would you use that word, Mel? Why would you say nefarious?
It's like they've done some nefarious things here in Canton PD. And I just think that, like, yes.
Miss Barrett.
Objection. That was Lolly. Miss
Barrett. Oh, Lolly. Oh.
He's so bad. His objection, he would like get his, he would put his lips on the microphone and then breathe into it. Objection.
My mic won't even let me pick up that noise because it's like, it like gates for that. But I can hear it in my headphones. So right now I sound just like Lolly to myself. Objection.
Correct.
Yeah, you did it. That's right. Be a sound effect terrorist. It's really fun.
And the other thing that's interesting is that Sean Good notably testified in trial one, but not trial two, even though he was the third officer on the scene. And we have now seen his dash cam footage. We've heard these calls between him and Dever. Like, he's an interesting character. Excuse me. And there's just so much more to his story. And I'm wondering how much we're going to find out about his story. And if we're ever going to see these text messages between him and Michael Proctor, do you think we will?
There are so many cases that there in which they're in play. Like the idea that every court would be reciprocal with the exact same protective orders, especially if they're brought into evidence during a trial. Like if there's a trial, like in the Johnson case or whatever, or if there's a trial in one of, in any one of Scapiccio's cases or other cases, it's Yes, he did talk to Higgy at 1:30. What do you mean, Emily? He just went in to do paperwork. Hello, Emily. We're going to talk about you in a little bit. And the magnificent job you did on your live interview with Adam Deitch.
He went into, well, Higgy went into Canton PD with his busted up knuckles and talked to Sean Good.
Speaking of Emily Say, little side note, I actually just read one of her tweets out loud to my husband right before we started the stream.
because she's a lovely, amazing human being. Go subscribe if you're not subscribed.
Okay, there's this woman, Dawn Marie, that was sort of giving us both shit on the on Twitter. She's Emily. I'm going to try to do my Emily impression. I'm going to smile. Do you remember all through school when you were growing up, Dawn Marie, your teacher would call on other kids, they'd respond, and the teacher would smile big and reply, correct. Then when you were called on, the teacher would still have that big smile, but their eyes would fill with worry, pity, and sadness. They'd reply, who can help Dawn Marie? And all the kids would wave frantically. Now, that's how I'm looking at you right now. Can anyone help Dawn Marie?
Correct.
I would stab myself if someone tweeted that.
I got a knife, man.
It's fantastic.
Emily and Rebecca, have you seen the woman who does exactly what Emily is doing? She does it in video. So she acts out this character that's like, I think, a kindergarten teacher. But she talks to like politicians as if they're her like kindergartners.
Oh, like does she cut the video back and forth? Yeah.
Genius. No, she does the entire thing. It's just on her face. And it's so, I got to find it. I got to play it for you both because it's just amazing to me. Love it.
We'll
so
send
much.
It to us and we'll all watch it.
Yeah.
She's a genius. She also has a new army pin for Colin, which we will also talk about.
And a new army. Oh, I saw Emily. You're a genius. I love it.
She's
anything else on Sean Good? Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
Sean Good.
Is there anything upcoming with Good? Any hearings or depositions or?
Well, he is involved. I mean, on all the lawsuits. I mean, he's the one who, there are four cases going on right now. And it's like, so,
I know.
So there's the criminal trial against Turtle Boy. Take that one off the board. There are three civil actions. There's the O'Keefe's versus everybody, the Haas defendants in federal court with Karen Reed as the plaintiff, and then the Ham case versus the case Ham v. Karen Reed and Turtle Boy. It's easy to get confused between those three as to when you saw what. Usually my confusion comes between the two civil cases, the one in federal court and the one in district court. But the district court ones where we actually see things live. So this is one of the district court cases where it happened that we learned that Good, and I think it was to Gil Day. So I want to say it was the, I'm not going to guess which one it was. Sorry. That they said they subpoenaed him and they had to like, he just ignored it. Like it wasn't like he responded and was non-responsive. He just like didn't reply. And so it was like, it's just wild to just not reply and not show up and not reply to your thing that we were going to be subpoenaed. And I mean, your deposition and not reply to your anything. Like that's just what he did. He didn't turn anything over. He didn't follow discovery. Nope. He didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Must be. Yes. Yep. And Michael Proctor is being deposed on Monday.
God, I wish I could be in that room. Okay, really? Question. Yeah.
I think this is by the way, the McCabes and McAlberts are continuing to reschedule theirs. I think they want to read some of the transcripts, these depositions before they're on.
For sure. Do you think that Alan Jackson will either be on Zoom or in person for that deposition?
For Jackson?
For Proctor.
Well, I'm sorry, for Proctor. So that's Monday. We obviously have the Massachusetts lawyers here. Alan Jackson being there in person would certainly change the dynamic in the room. I think Alan Jackson even on Zoom would change the dynamic in the room, but in person.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not a betting girl. Yes, I am actually. I'm a betting girl.
Keno.
And I am going to bet. I mean, if anyone would take me up on it, you won't. I'll bet myself $20 for the swear jar that he shows up in person.
In person, huh? I think he's going to Zoom it.
We'll see.
I don't know if I have 20 bucks to spend on a bet, though.
He has. You don't have to. I'm betting myself.
Okay.
The swear jar wins if I lose.
Dillard did say, okay, I just want to point this out. Dillard did say that Colin was deposed. I think
by
there's
him.
Some confusion.
No, no.
Right,
so Colin was deposed by him right. In a different, right. in the other matter, I think. No, he was deposed by him for that side. That he was not deposed by Karen Reed's team because he kept.
I think there's some confusion because I think that people believe that anybody can show up for a deposition on either side. And I don't know if that's true or not because I'm not aware.
They can hold separate deposition. Absolutely. They can both depose different people that do it. They can absolutely choose.
No, I mean, if Diller deposed Colin, then Karen Reed's team could have shown up to that deposition.
I think that may have been for the other matter, but I'm not certain. But we need to talk about what happened at that hearing because that hearing was fire yesterday.
We do. I did find her name is Mrs. Frazzled. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, but I'll look it up.
Okay. No, you don't have to look it up. I have it.
We're not going to watch politics stuff right now, though, are we? We have a fire hearing to talk about.
Okay, but it's like a 2-second video. Give me a second here.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Hold on. It's TikTok. TikTok's weird.
Someone's asking, "What's my over under on his military tenure?" Over under is like, I don't know a lot about sports gaming, sports betting, but that's like when you pick like a number, right? And you're like, it's going to be over that or under that, like a spread or whatever. Yeah. I think he will last 10 months.
All right. We're just going to watch one of the gentle parenting videos.
Okay. Gentle parenting.
Uh-oh, Aunt Marcy. I know you're super curious, but that's not for me to share. I'm their parent, but that's their business. Just because they're a baby doesn't mean they don't have the right to privacy. Because what do babies grow into? Grown-ups! Shine on, shine on! Why do you want to know so much, friend? No. I don't need to know that kind of information about you. Are you actually confused about the boundary, or do you just not like it? Uh-oh, friend, you okay? No, someone who says that they love you should not talk to you that way. I have actually noticed that you're sad a lot.
Imagine she does this to politicians and celebrities, and she basically treats them like they're her kindergarten students, and it's hilarious to me. Anyway, you should go check her out.
Somebody says they'll give it 4 years. It's hard to get fired in your first 4 years. Yeah, but there's also like a I don't know. A
code of conduct?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he'll thrive. Some people, like, did you watch that Sebastian Younger doc on, we probably didn't. I had to watch it for my Netflix podcast, but Sebastian Younger just made a doc about the Marines and Navy, the Navy people on this training exercise in like Asia or whatever. And like they interview one of the young Marine dudes right at the beginning. And he's like, I joined the Marines because I love violence. I thrive on violence. Yeah. I love violence. Yeah. I'm really into violent content. And you watch it and you're just like, the fuck, what? And then he ends up being this awesome Marine. Like he's super good at his job and he ends up like being promoted to leadership. And he's not like a bad Marine. He's a good Marine. And he's not like out there committing war crimes. But some people do thrive in the
military. I don't think that's Colin. I don't think so either. Looking for a place to escape.
Yeah. Well, that's for us to discuss when we get to the hearing portion of the podcast.
Right. All right. So the next thing that we are talking about is that hearing. We're talking about the status hearing.
Yeah.
So your notes are first.
Okay. Should we just pull it up so we can just get a little flavor of it? Because that was wild. Mm-hmm. Hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody posted it on YouTube at this point, right? And I watched it live.
Oh, it's on. It's there.
Okay.
I know that... Lawyer, I know Peter covered it.
I know, but I don't want to watch somebody watching it. I want to like.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I know that he had video of it.
All right. Well, Young Jerks it. Why not? I mean, gotta give him a view once in a while.
Christ. Really?
Listen, no. Gotta give him a view once in a while. What else is he gonna do?
Speaking of cunts.
All time classic Mel. All right, let me just skip this ad.
Oh, no, wait. I was going to say, do you want me to pull it up on mine so that we don't have to go through the ad? Yeah, Trial Channel has it. Do you want me to do it?
I got it.
Okay.
All right, see if we just make sure we can hear it first.
That were also no.
All right. So the judge comes out of the gate on fire.
Individually and personal representative of the estate of John Joseph O'Keefe III et al. Versus CNC Hospitality LLC, doing business as CNF McCarthy's et al. Your Honor, for the plaintiff O'Keefe, we have attorney Daniel Buck and attorney Mark Diller present by way of Zoom, as well as for the defendant, we have CNF McCarthy's, we have attorney Tamara Holstag and Lincoln Rose.
I was going to try to speed it up. Go ahead.
Defendant Waterfall, we have attorney John Dealey. For the defendant Reed, we have attorney Damon Seligson and attorney Aaron Rosenberg.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
So at one of our recent status conferences, there had been one deposition that had been conducted. I think the last time we got together, there had been two depositions conducted. So I'm hoping there have been at least four conducted, but I guess I'll have to find that out. So why don't we start with Attorney Diller on behalf of the plaintiffs? What depositions have been taken?
Shifty.
We've taken all three of the depositions that have occurred to date, Your Honor.
So different Diller today.
There have been no additional depositions since we last got together?
We have. We took two depositions since we last got together. Some of the depositions noticed had been canceled.
Notice how he came in. He's a different man today than last time when he came in all like raring for a fight.
Yeah, he's very subdued. So can we just tell everybody on the, can you pause it?
Yeah.
So up in the top middle is Rosenberg. That's Karen Reed's attorney. Very bottom bald guy is Seligson. That's Karen Reed's attorney.
Correct.
On the left is Diller. That is the guy who's representing the O'Keefes. And I don't know who the other people are. Oh, the judge is in the right bottom.
McCarthy, and this is the judge, and this is CF McCarthy and Waterfall people. These are the other people over here.
Yeah.
Got it.
So the main two that are like kind of going back and forth are top middle and middle left. Diller.
It's this
and
guy,
Rosenberg.
These two are most of it. And then Seligson does pop in. And then the other lawyers for the for the bars, like once in a while they'll be like, that sounds fine. I'm good. They're very they don't have a lot of skin in this game compared to everybody else. It's pretty great, actually.
Notice that haven't taken place.
We have 12 additional depositions noticed that haven't taken place. One of which we had a meet and confer with the Reed team regarding the deposition of Paul Makowski. We're trying to figure out whether or not we need to move forward with that deposition or whether that's going to become an issue that's live for trial. We also were asked to take the deposition of Karen Reed off for the June 19th, and we're trying to put that on for June 24th, Your Honor.
Attorney Rosenberg, why does that deposition have to be taken off?
Well, because June 19th is a federal holiday, Your Honor.
Oh, this exchange is so weird.
First of all, it was noticed first in, I believe, mid to late July, and then Mr. Diller re-noticed it for June, which is fine if the date's available. But he picked a date where offices are closed.
Everybody's uncomfortable.
We are not available. We are fine with rescheduling.
I wonder how many of the attorneys on the Zoom call have their offices open on that day.
Okay. I want to hit pause here.
I don't know the answer to that, but I know it's
this makes me so uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all know the federal holiday is referring to is Juneteenth, the newest federal holiday put into law, I think in like 2021-ish. And it's my read of it was like, you're all white. You're all working that day, right?
Oh, I didn't read it that way.
Not what he meant, but that's why it made me uncomfortable. First of all, nobody should be asking somebody to work on a federal holiday if that's when their office is closed. And you shouldn't be asking people if they plan to work on a federal holiday that is designed to celebrate the freedom of people of color in this country. Like, let it be. Let that one sit.
Especially when probably some of these people are going to be over at the white supremacists fundraiser.
It's very funny that's how it's been labeled. because that like that's not something people would be caring about unless it was those people doing it.
I really love Gildea. I like how forceful he is and how like snarky he is, but sometimes he just goes a little overboard, and that's
like with this.
I mean, I know. I mean, But he's right. These hearings are a complete waste of time because no one's doing what they're supposed to be doing. He keeps pushing them. He keeps giving them deadlines. And then they have these status hearings and they come back and they're like, oh, we've done one deposition since we talked a month ago. And it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? So that's, you know, like the last time that they had the status hearing, he was like, well, I hope you guys all, you know, aren't looking forward to having any kind of summer vacation because you're going to be working through the whole summer. And now he's like, oh, you guys still aren't doing your jobs? Go ahead and take a federal holiday off and get it done. I mean, I get it.
No,
but it's
take
also
the federal
like,
holiday that is designed to celebrate the freedom of Black people in this country. Aren't you working right. that day? There's something about that that really rubbed me the wrong way. It just, it's very like, we might like Gilday. I'm sure he's a fine guy, whatever, whatever. But yeah. there's just like a sort of a general dismissiveness of Juneteenth that really fucking yeah. bothers me. In this,
there's a general dismissiveness of Juneteenth throughout this entire country.
Right, right. But you can tell that Rosenberg is feeling that, but doesn't yeah. want to say that explicitly because he sort of underlines it a couple times. Can we just continue? Because I think it gets to that point in a second.
Federal holiday.
I just wanted to say one other thing. The sure. only thing that I will say, though, is that I do think that also on the other side of the Juneteenth argument is people also use that date and are like, well, it's a federal holiday. And they're, but they don't actually believe in it, like the actual holiday.
Sure.
And so that's, part of me feels like
Veterans Day and
part of me
Memorial
feels
Day.
Like Rosenberg is actually doing that in this situation. I'm not sure he's upset that. That the judge wants them to work on Juneteenth. I think he's using it as an excuse.
Sure, maybe. But it is a federal holiday, as sure. is Memorial Day, as is Veterans Day, as is Columbus/Indigenous yep. Peoples Day, whatever. And a lot of people, like I never celebrated Columbus Day, but I happily took the day off. I mean, I'm not going to, yep. and I'm Italian. And I don't think that Columbus was a good person.
If one party determines that they're going to hold a deposition on a federal holiday and the others aren't available, that seems relatively reasonable to me. As I was saying, though, we provided additional dates.
Hang on, Attorney Rosenberg. Just keep in mind in all the discussions we're having today, the context of this case and where we stand and how long discovery has been ongoing and how few depositions have taken place. That's the background that I'm coming from. So it wouldn't surprise me if an attorney would decide to take a day that would be open for most people to conduct a deposition. But your office is closed, so that's fine.
Open for most people is a federal law.
So fucked up.
And it is open for some people. I mean, schools don't take every federal holiday off. I mean, in New Hampshire, they go to school on President's Day because the February vacation is like soon after that. So there's like, you know, there are some holidays that are, I mean, my husband once thought it was like Columbus Day or something. And I had the day off and he thought he did too. So he just didn't go to work. And his boss called and was like, we're open today. So federal holidays doesn't mean or whatever, but like, yeah, yeah.
It's well, not going to go forward on that day.
But also, respectfully, Your Honor, the case has been going on for different parties for different lengths of time. My clients only had active discovery pending for a year. Mr. Diller chose one date and then rescheduled to another date. And the second date he chose happened to be a federal holiday. We proposed four other dates earlier than what Mr. Diller had first chosen. And we are willing to reschedule it. The only reason that that date doesn't work is because of the particular date that he chose. So we are happy.
What dates do you have before June 19th?
Okay,
so we don't need to watch this, but you see that it starts kind of fire. It starts like in an unexpectedly salty way. Like they get right to the salt. There's no like niceties before the salt. There's no, this judge just comes out and he's just like, hot damn people, let's get to it.
Yep.
I like that efficiency. Like this. Yeah.
He's been like this in every hearing because I feel the same way. Why are we dragging our feet on this? Why are we playing these stupid games? Like, cause that's what it feels like to me. They just feel like lawyer games to me, like gaming the system to get the judge on your side. You know, I'm like, at this point, the judge is going to have to get involved and he's going to have to force some of these depositions.
Well, that's what happens in this. That's
bullshit.
What they asked for. That's what they asked for. Hold on.
We don't have
their children.
Your documents.
Oh.
That's it.
All right, let's watch the video.
I'll pull your video. To Amazon.
So I want to get to the part where they talk about what the, McAlbert's pulled and I'm logged in as, something's off right now, so I don't have the YouTube Plus.
I got it.
I'm going to unshare. But as we find out what happened, what had happened, we talked about this last night in the members only stream. When I say a grammar pet peeve, understand where I'm coming from. I'm not the kind of person who necessarily looks down on people when they use a grammar thing that is a pet peeve of mine. However, there are some grammar pet peeves that are, to me, also signals of something else, like a distancing from an activity or like a non-truth telling thing or whatever. One of the things that I feel that way about is what had happened was, and Jen McCabe is a what had happened person over and over and over again. It's like she's telling a story about what happened, but it's not what happened. So she says what had happened was.
Like what that's
it's an extra distancing, the double negative distancing. Makes me crazy. Makes me crazy.
Okay, so how far?
We'll put it on a faster. I'm only, hold on, I am. Let me skip the Marianne.
Wait, this is not the right
I'm,
one.
I'm only at like 6 minutes, so. But I had it on time and a half.
This is not the
I can't
right
stand
one.
Listening to these things in real time when it's a re-listen.
Did they
I'm
move?
Just impatient
they moved boxes.
No.
They moved.
Well, let me see. Yeah, they did. Somebody was gone for a second and they
we
came
also,
back.
We also were asked to take the deposition of Karen
okay.
Reed off.
This is Diller responding to Rosenberg.
Okay.
So you have noticed that haven't taken place.
We have 12 additional depositions noticed that haven't taken place. One of which we had a meet and confer with the Reed team regarding the deposition of Paul Makowski. We're trying to figure out whether or not we need to move forward with that deposition.
Anyone know who that is? I looked it up and I couldn't figure out who that was.
I couldn't figure out who it was. Emily, do you know who it is?
We asked to take the deposition of Karen Reed off for the June 19th, and we're trying to put that on for June 24th, Your Honor.
Attorney Rosenberg, why does that deposition have to be taken off?
Kevin's birthday.
Well, because June 19th is a federal holiday, Your Honor, and multiple
offices.
Okay,
we already did.
So we're not, first of all, it was noticed first in, I believe, mid to late July. I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor, but I know it's a federal holiday. And if one party determines that they're going to hold a deposition on a federal holiday and the others aren't available, that seems relatively reasonable to me. As I was saying, though.
Oh, Yannetti's investigating. That
hang
makes
on, Attorney Rosenberg. Just keep in mind in all the discussions we're having today, the context of this case. And
remember Lucky talked about Paul?
And how long discovery has been ongoing and how few depositions have taken place. That's the background that I'm coming from. So it wouldn't surprise me if an attorney would decide to take a day that would be open for most people to conduct a deposition. But your office is closed, so that's fine. Well, it's not going to go forward on that day.
But also, respectfully, Your Honor, the case has been going on for different parties.
Somebody in the chat made a really good point. I think I put it on the screen a few minutes ago. Who cares if their law offices are open? It's a federal holiday, and they're not going to have a clerk to transcribe the deposition because it's a federal fucking holiday. What is the judge getting at here? Like, what's he doing? I don't understand.
He's pissed. He's pissed, and he doesn't realize that that it's a bad look to question people taking Juneteenth off.
Because he's an old white guy.
Yeah, it's a bad look.
Okay. It's a very bad look. All right, here we go.
Different I mean, what do you think?
Dexter said, I'm behind, but Gallagher did testify in trial two, and Mrs. Frazzle is the teacher's videos.
No, I didn't
we
say,
weren't talking about Gallagher. We were talking about Sean Good.
Yeah, Sean Good only testified in trial one. So what do you think? I mean, do you think he'd be more self-conscious of what a bad look it was? If Rosenberg were like, that's Rosh Hashanah, we're not, we can't, we know some people are off that day. He'd probably be like, okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I just, it's just the dismissiveness of Juneteenth for me. Just like, it really bothered me. Or it's President's Day. It's whatever. It's like, it's there's a dismissiveness to it that I just, it rubbed me.
It's a microaggression. It's casual racism. It's what, it's the thing that people of color and, it's what they hear and see on a daily basis, and the rest of us don't hear and see it because we're not attuned to it. I hear it about gay people. I mean, this is Pride Month, and the dismissiveness right now is ludicrous to me.
It is.
And people don't realize that, like, Pride Month is not about, like, celebrating my gayness. It's about celebrating our rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's about celebrating the lesbians who were the only people who were there for the gay boys who died during the AIDS crisis. It's about celebrating the
it's
riots.
Stonewall. It's about a lot of stuff. Yeah. And it's like, it's opt-in. If you're not into it, don't go to the parade. Just like I don't go to Columbus Day parades. It's fine. It's opt-in. Right. So in terms of the reciprocal scheduling, Diller said that they did depose Colin. The judge would prefer they do everything reciprocally, like the scheduling, but an attorney's usually agree to it. I don't think in this case it's been that simple. And Colin is one of those witnesses that like is likely to have a very friendly deposition and a very unfriendly deposition. So it doesn't seem like that they were all together in scheduling that one at the same time. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think Emily has a point here. I think I think Judge Gildea just wants to work through all the holidays because at the last hearing, he asked Aiden's lawyer to work on July 4th. I don't actually think, I'm not even sure he actually wants to work through the holidays. I think he's trying to make a point.
Mm, yeah.
I don't even know if he's like, well, you have to work on Juneteenth, because even if it is a federal holiday. I think he's literally just trying to make a point because these guys are acting like kids.
He's the anti-Canoni who's like, well, there are 17 federal holidays. Listen, I'm not saying he's racist. I'm saying it's a bad look and he should know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
There are some things that like,
I am saying he's racist.
I'm just saying we don't. I just don't want to ascribe values to him that we don't know to be true or not. What I'm saying is it is a bad look. It's a very bad look. And you would think a man in his position would understand that that is a bad look, but he didn't. So there's that.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Clients only had active discovery pending for a year. Mr. Diller chose one date and then rescheduled to another date. And the second date he chose happened to be a federal holiday. We proposed four other dates earlier than what Mr. Diller had first chosen, and we are willing to reschedule it. The only reason that date doesn't work is because of the particular date that he chose. So we are happy.
What dates do you have before June 19th?
Before June 19th, we don't have any because the vast majority of them are taken up with scheduled depositions.
Rosenberg is pissed.
And this isn't directed just to you, Attorney Rosenberg, but it's just beyond belief to me the number of experienced lawyers involved in this case. The length the case has been pending for however long it's been pending for all parties, and even if it's only been pending for Ms. Reed for a year, that there are so few depositions that have taken place.
Can I
Attorney Rosenberg, I don't need to hear all the details. I don't need to hear the nitpicking that someone canceled the deposition, that they put it on a holiday. With all due respect, I don't need to hear that. What I need to hear is, going forward, how you're going to get the discovery done.
That's what I would like to address. Go ahead. So I just want to give you an example, and I'm not looking to nitpick you.
I don't want to hear an example of what happened. I want to know what's going to happen.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain to you, Your Honor, if you'd let me just say that. So, for example, we had depositions of the following six individuals. Notice,
Attorney Rosenberg, I don't care what has happened now. All right.
No, I'm talking about in the future.
It's obvious that the parties are having difficulty working together. So what I want to hear from all of you is what you're going to do to get this done.
That's what I'm addressing.
What you're going to do to get this done from your perspective.
That's what I'm trying to address, Your Honor. If you would please let me explain. We have six depositions that are currently scheduled in the future for the following six individuals who are major witnesses in this case from my client's perspective. Brian and Nicole Albert, Jennifer McCabe, Matthew McCabe, Ali McCabe, and Brian Higgins. They've been noticed and subpoenaed for a month. Last night at 9:35 p.m., we received an email from the single attorney or firm that is representing those six individuals telling us none of them are available for the dates on their subpoenas. And with one minor exception, none of them are available prior to July 20th. So respectfully, it's not nitpicking, I believe, to say that the reason that we've had trouble taking depositions in this case is because this is not the first time that the witnesses have, in our view, played games with the scheduling. And so I'm not interested in coming to you every time this happens, Your Honor. But if you want to know why we are struggling to take depositions, it's because third parties are not showing up for subpoena deposition dates. And there's already one motion to compel that has already been served as to the first of those witnesses that you will receive probably in a week or so. And once we confer on this email that came in at 9:35 tonight or last night, unfortunately, it appears you're likely to see a number of other motions to compel on this. And we will, per your instructions in the past, we will do that quickly and we'll get them to you as soon as we can.
Well, so because I'm struggling with this because I'm not a lawyer, I'm struggling with the idea that Colin Albert was subpoenaed to give a deposition and didn't show up.
That's what they say, yeah. So they're asking for the judge to let them compel, right? I'm sure Diller has a different narrative on whether or not he, quote, showed up or canceled. But yeah, that sounds right. And now he's going into the Army. By the way, I just want to say as an aside, there's a new filing in the Karen Reed case that just dropped that I would warn people to brace yourself for if you choose to read it. It contains some of the worst language I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's
really
from
which
it's quotes from the texts between Good and Proctor. And I
get out of here.
I do not want to share them on the show until I get a chance to go through and actually blank out some of the words, but it's the worst I've ever. It's way worse than you think it is.
It just came out?
Yeah. Way, way worse than you think it could be.
Who put it out? What is it?
It is a new filing. Nick Rocco shared it. And it is a, this is her complaint against the Massachusetts State Police and the town of Canton. This is a new complaint.
I see it. Yep.
And it's bad. It's really, 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 really bad. They're worse than anything I've ever seen.
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
It also sounds like Proctor had a... yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my.
I mean, this is so bad God. That I'm going to literally tell people...
Oh my God.
To really prepare yourself, like, or don't look at it or wait to see a redacted thing. It is.
Oh my
God. My stomach, like I feel sick. I'm not being performative. Like I really feel sick.
I'm not being performative either. I literally have one page that is just quotes. And I am these motherfuckers.
Without using the words, I will give you an example. Proctor.
Oh my God.
After telling Good about a multi-car accident in Canton, actually take your time. I saw a N-word was involved, so I wouldn't rush if you're working. Let them die. Proctor, and I'm assuming this is regarding Kamala Harris. Quote, my new VP is a giant malignant cunt. I pray to the heavens that some fucked up insect from the Amazon crawls up her vagina, catches eggs, and her litter kills her by eating her from the inside out. Referring to his then girlfriend's anus, it gets worse. Like they're worse.
This is the one that I was that just blew my mind. The one that you're
this
about
is
to read,
Proctor referring to his then girlfriend's anus, and it says then girlfriend. So I'm guessing this person is the person who later became his wife, or maybe not. Who knows? Quote: I can't even get near that thing. I make every effort possible. I wait till she's asleep and I try to get at it. I try every effort possible. I try to get her hammered. I can't get anywhere near it. It's starting to piss me off. It's not cool.
He basically is saying that he has to get his girlfriend drunk and sexually assault her in order to have anal sex with her.
Proctor, quote, I know Randolph all too well. Place is a complete shithole filled with N-words. No good N-words.
Eat a Sean black
Good.
Dish.
She's a Jew, so Def puts out. Proctor, quote, Michael deport Proctor. Devices. I don't care if they are here legally or what their excuse was. Fucking deport those sand N-words. It's so bad.
Oh my God.
It is so bad.
Discussing a sexual partner not wanting to be ejaculated on. Mm-hmm. That's when you whack off on her when she's sleeping. Then tell her one way or another you will spray a rope on her.
How can anybody? I understand the anti. Can we just like take this off screen for a second? I understand the anti Karen Reed faction. And they're like, and by the way, there's also Turtle Boy wrote a blog last night that Matt McCabe sent a letter to Maura Healey about Proctor, like trying to get them to not fire Proctor. He put that on his blog last night.
I want to know what the foreskins are going to have to say about this. Fuck
who
them.
Can,
oh my
who can,
God.
Who can possibly look at any, even if you are an ugly person who doesn't, one of those people who doesn't think they're racist, but actually is, right? Like, or one of those people who's like, how can you look at this in a million years and say anything about this is quote, locker room talk or boys being boys or just a private conversation with jokes. This is the most Good's wife is an elementary school student. This is the most disgusting thing I have ever seen. Like it's like reading about it's like reading about slave auctions, like in the, you know what I mean? It's like in the things that used to happen. It's like so bad. It's like these people want there to be a different version of the country. They want to live in the fucking Handmaid's Tale, but for women and for black people. Like
there is
everyone.
One whole page, page 12, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, almost 12 examples of Michael Proctor talking about sexually assaulting women while they're asleep. 12 different examples.
I'm going to put the link in the chat, but please.
A roofie or something.
Please. She is read with care and read with caution if you choose to read it.
Fucking hell.
This is so much. You know, it's funny because Turtle Boy has been telling me this privately and then saying publicly, because he's had all this. This is like part of this, you know, this is some impounded stuff. Some of it he's had. He's said it is so much worse. And he's also said, by the way, there's so much worse between Jen and Carrie and all those people than you could possibly imagine. It's so much worse.
Fuck.
If Lisa would let me see her cans and actually take a photo of them, I would send them. We're family here.
I'm just saying, like, this is the lead racial and religious for a woman.
This is why. This is why Good retired. This is why Good left this week, because he knew this was coming.
Yeah.
This is why. This is a hundred. Can you believe they kept him on leave for 7 months with this information in hand?
Knowing this, I mean, I think about all of the cases this now affects.
All this anti-Semitic stuff.
Women, black people, Jewish people. This affects
John Good.
So many
Anne
cases.
Frank is a lying cunt, says John. Says
oh my
John Good.
Christ. Oh my Christ.
How are the blacks down there? Very blacky. He's got homophobic stuff in here. This stuff about Sandra Birchmore.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
This is helpful right till the end. CPD then permitted Good to resign. I'm going to put this up. This part I can put up. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry to bogart the thing here, but this is really important.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
All right. Let's take a look at this. All right. So this is the writing part. This is their analysis of it. So I'm comfortable showing this because it doesn't have... that makes it smaller. Hold on. So other times MSP looked the other way. For example, in February 2024, 4 months before Reed's trial, the MSP was aware they had a problem related to Reed's case. The Department of Justice had begun investigating the investigators, and on February 4th questioned Proctor in a grand jury about text messages he wrote in which he called Ms. Reed a cunt. Okay, we know all this part too. They did not terminate him. Yada yada. Where's the part I was just looking at about Good? Hold on. This is long. Okay, that was at the Sandra Birchmore part. Okay. Homophobic stuff. Stuff about Sandra Birchmore. This just does something I don't want to read because it's really upsetting. Good helped friends avoid repercussions for what appears to have been their regular practice of driving drunk. Sobriety checkpoint at 138 by the trail side tonight. Please stay away. Can't help if you get caught. Too many troopers in Milton PD. Keep this info between us. He relished his institutional power, authority, and access to illegally obtain information about women he encountered. I can't wait to look up this cunt tonight at work. MSP and CPD knew or should have known about the Proctor and Good's bigotry. This is a bombshell of a complaint. This is the most bombshell complaint we have seen.
Oh, my God.
Helpful right to the end. CPD then permitted Good to, quote, resign 2 days before the filing of this complaint rather than firing him and thus saving him from the reputational and financial implications of being terminated for cause. This makes all the sense in the world because he was served notice that this was going to be filed. So he saw it. His employer probably got a copy of it because they know he's being investigated. And they allowed him to resign rather than fire him. There is
something rotten over here.
100%. And then here's the investigative stuff. Propelled to the defendant's house by false statements. Failed to investigate theory. Says this is a... bombshell. Oh, there's a Greg Connor. As Greg Connor, a 25-year veteran prosecutor in that office who is now seeking the role of DA, recently said of the Commonwealth's murder charge, quote, the reach extended the grasp, and I don't think there was another DA office in Massachusetts that wanted to prosecute Karen Reed. So the counts are negligence. I just want to zip through and see what's in here. They have a negligence, dereliction of duty, this is a negligence claim. Let's see what else they have in terms of big claims. Civil conspiracy against both defendants. Okay. There's a jury demand. She wants a jury trial and a prayer for relief. Judgment entered in her favor. Award and damages to be calculated at trial along with costs. And then there's going to be, oh God, there's a bunch.
Audio files.
There's a bunch. This is the whole show, Mel. We can't do this without preparing for it. So can we put this away for now and then do this?
I need to take a few minute break. I'll be right back.
Let's take a quick break. I'll entertain the folks. Yeah, that's this is going to be the thing everybody's talking about. It is. It's stunning. Anybody have any thoughts that they would like to share that I can read your comments? Because I want to just give Mel a couple minutes here. People wondering why people don't like cops. Absolutely right. The head of the Massachusetts State Police saw these texts. Absolutely. What a pig. How does his wife stand by him? I don't know if you're talking about Good's wife. I have heard that Proctor and his wife are no longer together. I don't know if that's true. This is definitely the culture. You could pop open texts from any town and get the same. My dad was a cop. I'm feeling sick just seeing your reactions. AJ said their texts would be worse than I think they seem. They are. This is what Rosemary Scapiccio has been talking about in court. I'm sorry, I'm looking at your comments. I want to put a few of your comments up here. All righty. I'm driving. I need to get somewhere so I can rest. It's shit. Yep, that's where we all are right now. He won't make it out of boot camp. I assume you're talking to Colin. It's rough. I mean, just as an aside, I will say he is in very good shape. And if it's a physically demanding thing, and it's more about the discipline stuff that probably would shake him up. A kid looks like he can climb a wall. Let's be real. MAGA, who would have known? This is more than just MAGA. This is completely different. I mean, this is an institutional. I mean, there's a way that it's very easy to paint a brush and say that. It's very hard to believe that a certain political philosophy is what is driving this when you know they've always been this way. This shatters my empathetic heart. I don't understand people who are so cruel. I don't understand it either. Proctor text not unusual in cop culture. I hate these people. This is who they are. We are not outraged enough. You cannot be outraged enough. You cannot be. This is the important point. We're not going to obviously go through this filing in depth today. This is for a different show. Mel, I think we're probably going to have to schedule another show that's before Monday. So we'll do that. And we'll let you all know on this channel when that's going to be, because we both need some time to absorb this, figure out how we want to talk about it. I know there's things in it that I'm going to want to black out before I'm comfortable putting them on the screen. Because here's what I think about. I think about YouTube discovery. Like, yes, it's what they said. My philosophy is people should own what they said. We should not hide from it. We should not shy away from it. But what I think about YouTube discovery is that any person could just be discovering our channel, going through it, picking a point of the video and looking at it. And that is not what I want them to see when they click on our channel. So I will be going through and redacting portions of it that I'm uncomfortable showing. And I'm sure Mel is uncomfortable showing as well.
And I think we just need to protect words in your mouth. We need to protect our audience a little bit.
Absolutely.
I'm sure there are a lot of people in our audience who, like me, are, you know, survivors of sexual assault and sexual abuse. And hearing that a cop, there's a whole page of a cop saying that he, you know, waits until she's asleep before he sexually assaults her. That just like knocked me on my ass. I do want to put one thing on the screen. So you guys just heard examples, just a couple of examples of some of the shit that these cops are saying back and forth to each other. I want you to remember that this is Michael Proctor excusing that behavior, not excusing, but apologizing. And I want you to understand how weak he fucking is in this apology, and that anyone who saw these text messages was okay with allowing him to keep his job for as long as he did, also needs to be fired.
What point did you develop such strong negative feelings about Karen Reed that you would say things like, hopefully she kills herself, or calling her the C word?
Those feelings developed as the case went on.
I mean, can you see how people might think, caught in this instance speaking about a suspect in this way. Maybe it's happened in other cases as well.
I 100% understand why people would think that. But when you have, you know, fellow police officer around my age, two kids of his own. It generates an emotion. And I express that, those emotions, in a negative way, which I shouldn't have. I shouldn't even been texting my
friend. He's a liar.
Not only is he a liar, but if that's how he...
You know, they're regrettable.
Regrettable.
Come on, Rick. If that's how he is talking about his emotions getting the better of him, so he's texting other people about raping women in their sleep, that's what he does when his emotions get the better of him. Like, fuck off, this guy. I can't. Anyway, I just wanted to remind everybody that was his response. That was his response, and that was his apology for saying what you just heard us read out loud.
Right.
It's and not I enough. Just, and the people who saw it before and allowed him to stay and do what he was doing should also be fired.
I'm always the first person to say people have the right to free speech. They can say whatever they want. They can. Whether or not there should be a consequence when they're in a position to serve and protect their community, they are also talking about members of the community. They are not having there's no excuse for anything that they're saying, but they are in order to think about what the foreskins or others will say, they are not having a private conversation unrelated to their work in these text messages. They are talking about their work. You, residents of Canton and the state of Massachusetts, yes, are paying them. We're paying them. And you were paying Sean Good, residents of Canton, for the last 7 months while his bosses knew this. You were paying
Greg Connor. Did Connor know?
There's no way. Connor knew. Connor knows. Of course Connor
Michael
knows.
Michael Morrissey knew. Greg Connor knew. Helena Rafferty
knew. If this isn't
knew.
The nail in Connor's fucking election coffin, it should be.
Okay, but we are talking, we are a public that a decade ago, I don't want to get political here. I'm going to say this and it's not a political thing. We are a country that a decade ago hired a man who on tape said he grabs women by the pussies and he's allowed to do it. So They let you do it. Mm-hmm. So if we are going to elect a man to the highest office in our land after he says something like that, you don't think that Greg Connor's going to get elected in Norfolk County?
No, I'm saying that it should be the nail in his coffin. It should be. You know what I mean? It should be. It might not be, but it should be. Some people claim free speech advocacy is really about defending a sociopath. Okay, sociopathic hate speech is allowed in this country. It absolutely is. It is protected speech. That doesn't mean this lack of speech without consequences. There's a big difference. The ACLU has defended the fucking Klan in many cases.
Yep.
This is why Mal and I are like so distraught about like 60 Minutes being dismantled, for instance, because that is a perfect example of a show that defends the truth, whether or not a particular party likes the truth or not. They've pissed off plenty of liberals and they've pissed off plenty of Republicans and MAGA people. Like, it's upsetting, but they are telling the truth and the truth is free speech. So is hate speech. It's free speech. Does it mean there should be no consequences? Abso-fucking-lutely not, it doesn't. It means you should get fired. It means you should get people to divorce you. It means you shouldn't be eligible for certain employment. It means that you can absolutely be shunned by your friends and neighbors and community. It means all of those things. Does it mean that it's illegal to say? No, there's a huge difference there. Huge difference.
If I were a resident of Canton, Massachusetts, I would be getting together with a bunch of people in my town and going all in on a civil suit against the police department, the town of Canton, and everybody else I could find, because they paid this guy from my money, taxpayer money, knowing that this is how he talked in private text exchanges with Michael Proctor. I would be doing a class action suit at this point in time against the town of Canton and the police department if I could. I don't know if it's even legal, but that's what I would be trying to do, because you just took my money to pay this guy for 7 months.
You know who else has seen this? And they're also paying for an investigation as if one is needed.
Right.
As if one is needed. These are the texts, by the way. These are just, now keep in mind, this is not a transcript of the text. These are selected texts.
Come here.
among a batch of texts that go back to 2013 that I know she can hear me. She's just like, she's wrangling the dog that they go back to 2013. These were the texts that made the union quit representing Michael Proctor in his appeal of being fired. These are those. So the police union in the state of Massachusetts knows about these texts. The police union knows about them. Yep. So the police union also knows about any other cop that is on these texts with Michael Proctor. They know about all of the cops that are on these texts with Michael Proctor. And all of those cops, are they still working? That's a really interesting question to think about. Second thing is, we watched all these Canton Select Board meetings. You think the Canton Select Board hasn't seen these texts? Of course they have. They understand what their investigation is about. Chris Albert has seen them. Everyone else in the Select Board has seen them. That woman who made that super measured, boring-ass announcement two nights ago, she has seen them. And the fact that they felt that they needed to hire an investigator to investigate, oh, this shouldn't matter. This question makes me sick, by the way.
This is why I'm bringing it up.
This question is gross. You should not need to have a daughter, a sister, or a mother to not be a misogynist piece of shit.
Or a black friend, I have daughters, or a gay friend, or anything. Yeah. Like this should just outrage every single human being, whether they are related to or have a friend that is or anything.
And we know you meant this with good faith. And we don't mean to jump on you and attack you, but that is actually.
No, we're just angry right now.
Very, very angry right now. I'm thinking about the ripple. This could. Do you think that what's his face? And I know that they're not, I know he's not Massachusetts State Police, but do you think Michael Cox is not cognizant of these texts?
Kelly Dever?
They know. They have been passed around as sealed materials to any number of
prosecutors,
defense attorneys. And yeah.
Was this in discovery? Did Bev Cannoni know about it?
No, the private texts came out after trial too. The private texts were the ones that were procured during the Proctor investigation.
Yeah.
The FBI might have had them.
I'm sure they did.
We don't know if they did or not, but they could have. They absolutely could have. Whew.
Everybody okay? Is everyone okay?
Yeah. Can we agree to put a pin in this and that we will talk about this in a stream that we'll do in the next couple of days?
I think we need to do it before Monday. I mean, as soon as we get off, I'm going to jump into this. And
I have meetings today, but when I'm done with those, I will get into it. And why don't we plan on either tomorrow or Saturday? Tomorrow's a little rough, but Saturday potentially.
Imagine this is what Rosemary Scapiccio has been looking at.
This is what she's been screaming about in court.
Yeah. And she's been, as far as I'm concerned, so measured because I'm sure she wants to do what we're doing right now and she can't.
If someone wanted to know where you can read the documents, I posted the link to the file in the chat. I would definitely prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Don't go into this thinking, oh, I'm just going to see some gross stuff. There's something in here for everyone to feel sick about. It's a equal opportunity illness. Many races and many religions are represented. Many kinds of people are represented. This is, can we kick this person out?
Learn some new ones. Do it. Sure.
Kevin just said he learned some new epithets by looking at those documents. All right. So can we just pivot quickly? Because I do want to, in the last few minutes, talk about our hero, Emily C., and what a magnificent interview she did with candidate Adam Deitch.
Are we getting off here in the next few minutes?
No, but I want to pivot for a few minutes. I need a mental break from this topic. Okay. Because Emily had a really important potential public figure on, somebody who the entire Norfolk County is talking about in a case that has polarized and brought together a whole community of people. And she had him on, and it was very clear, as he said in the interview, that they had a pre-interview conversation. I'm sorry, Mel, I'm plowing on just for a minute. I just want to give Emily her flowers. They had a pre-interview conversation where Deitch was circumspect in saying what he was and wasn't able to talk about, could and couldn't talk about. Within those parameters, she did an incredible job. We're not going to review that interview now. We'll do that in a separate show. But I just wanted to not give Emily her flowers publicly for what an outstanding job she did with that interview. And it was very, very clear that even with the constraints she was able to get a lot of information in with her questions and just with the facial expressions he made hearing those questions. That was very illuminating. So great job, Emily. And we will talk about that interview in depth. I just needed to take a 2-minute break from this conversation. Mm-hmm. Now we can go back to it.
Do you want to go in depth with the Emily interview, or do you want to go back?
I think we should put a pin in that. I mean, it's hard to talk about anything when you're seeing this, right? Like,
no, I meant the, Adam Deitch interview.
I know that. But okay. It's hard to even talk about the hearing after this comes onto our radar.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So why don't we do this? Why don't we stop? Yes. I think we're both having a little, I'm having a hard time right now.
I could do something tonight. We can talk about maybe doing something tonight. So maybe.
I am booked at 6 o'clock tonight. Yeah, so
we'll discuss offline. We'll post something here on this channel. I can probably
do something tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll post something here on this channel that will signal, when we're coming on. My guess is it's going to be Saturday. That's my guess, just looking at our two calendars for the next 2 days. And we also want to be thoughtful about it. We don't want to be reactionary, as is impossible not to be. We're going to be reactionary, but we don't want to, we don't want to cry too much on our stream. So we will do this probably Saturday, and we will announce the time shortly after we end this stream. We'll talk about it right now. We'll announce the time, and we'll put something on our social. And please join us. Please join us and bring your thoughtful comments. And okay, so I just want to address this. I'm surprised you guys are feeling this hard. The reason I'm feeling this hard is because, yes, it's one thing to know a thing. I did know this. This is not a surprise. There's a difference between knowing it and seeing it. There's a difference between knowing somebody was beheaded and seeing them beheaded. There's a difference between knowing a cat got run over and seeing the run over cat. It's a very different experience. And I please just forgive us for not being as outraged forever as you think we should have been. We were. But there is a visceral difference. It's a visceral, physical reaction between knowing something and seeing something.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I sort of expected run-of-the-mill racism and sexism and anti-Semitism and homophobia, more or less along the lines of maybe every once in a while saying the N-word, which does enrage me. But
it's everywhere.
But seeing it and how deeply they went into their racism, sexism, homophobia, misogyny, and sexual assault talk is the sexual assault talk is what I wasn't prepared for. I didn't actually know. Like, I thought the worst of it was no nudes so far.
Oh, remember when they said too that there's images of body parts of third parties in here? You know,
okay,
it's easy to imagine.
Address this. Yeah. It does. I understand what you're saying. We all know it's true. We all know it's true, but like Rebecca is saying, when you see it, I'm having a visceral reaction to it right now because I'm seeing it happen in real time. And we all know it's true. I expect this behavior from a lot of mediocre white men. I'll just say that, whether they're police officers or business owners or town
selectors,
YouTubers, politicians, everybody. But when you see it, when they're saying it and you're reading their exact words, and honestly, I wasn't expecting the sexual assault component of it as much as I just saw. This isn't about, I don't know, maybe I'm being naive.
No, I think there's a huge difference between knowing a dog got hit by a car and seeing a dog get hit by a car. I really do think there is. And I think you should I think we all, you know what, let's just give each other some grace. Let's give each other some grace in this situation. All right, Mel, let's end this party, such as it is. And let's talk right now about when we're going to come back. And I think it will most likely be Saturday. So keep an eye out for that announcement in our YouTube and on our socials. And please join us. And we will,
I just hit the end button. Uh-oh.